Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, I want to share with you a very fascinating question that is discussed by Rabbi Tzal Stern in his Tshuvos Bitzel HaChachma regarding a person who is either the grandchild or the great-grandchild of a Holocaust survivor, and he is visiting the site of the concentration camps. And the question is, does he recite a bracha when visiting that site? We know that when a person is the recipient of a miracle and he survives some dramatic incident by virtue of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed a nes for his survival, a person is supposed to make a bracha when he visits that site. And the bracha is called the bracha of Sha'asali Neis B'makom Hazeh. That's the bracha a person is supposed to recite when visiting that site afterwards. And the question is, does this grandchild or great-grandchild recite that bracha as well? And that's the question. So the first point that has to be ironed out is whether this type of miracle of surviving the Holocaust in fact warrants the recitation of this bracha. Now, why should there be a potential, a question regarding the bracha that we make on the incident of the Holocaust? So there's a machlekes that is brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Reish Yud Ches Sif Tes, the last sif over the simen over there, where the Shulchan Aruch brings down two opinions regarding the question of whether or not a person recites the bracha of Sh'asali Neis with the Shem Umalchus, with the name of Hashem, when visiting the site of a miracle that was performed for him, but it wasn't the type of miracle that was chutz meidar ki ateva. It wasn't supernatural. In other words, if a person is, let's say, in a desert, and he has nothing to drink, and all of a sudden God performs a nes for him, and all of a sudden water appears, so the Gemara in Brachis Nandala tells us that that's an open nes, that's a miracle that is beyond the rules of nature, and you certainly recite a bracha upon visiting that site subsequent to the nes. The question is, what about a nes that isn't chutz midarchei teva? What if you have a ganev? What if you have a thief that comes and asks you for your money, and he says, your money or your life, and somehow you survived the incident, so you're in a situation of danger, and somehow you survived, but it's not a survival that required or warranted a miracle that was chutz meidar ki ateva, that was beyond the laws of nature. You know, people do survive such incidents. If you scream, someone happens to be in the vicinity, they might come and help you, and the person attacking you might run away. So that's an nes, but it's not chutz meidar ki ateva. It's not supernatural. So there's a machlekes whether you make a bracha. There are two opinions brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The opinion of the Beis Yosef in the name of the Avud Raham is that you do not recite a bracha in this case. You only make a bracha of Sha'asali Neis, Mokom Hazeh, when visiting the site of a miracle that was performed beyond the laws of nature. An example the Mishnah Berurah brings down is a case where, let's say, a person had something collapse over him. A stone fell on him, very heavy stone. And with the laws of nature, he would have died. He would have got killed in this accident, whatever it was. Alpi dine teva, through the laws of nature, he would have been killed, and yet he survived. So you do make a bracha, because that is a miracle that is beyond the laws of nature. The question is, what if it's within the laws of nature? So that's machlekes. How do we paskin? Says the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that you should make a bracha in that case, but without the Shem HaMalchus. You cannot recite the bracha with the Shem Hashem, with the name of Hashem, because according to most paskin, you don't recite this bracha in this event. So that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah actually in Bir Halacha brings down from the Gaon, he says, how could the second opinion hold that you make a bracha even if you survive something that's within the laws of nature? If that were to be the case, when a woman gives birth and she has a baby, so every single time she visits the hospital or goes to that site of the birth, she should have to make this bracha of Sha'asli Neis Makom Hazeh, because that's a miracle that didn't supersede the laws of nature. And yet, no one makes such a bracha. Obviously, you don't make a bracha because the miracle that was performed wasn't beyond the laws of nature. At any rate, that is the psak. And the question then becomes, what about the Holocaust? So there's a tshuva from the Bitzel HaChachma, and he makes the following point. The Shulchan Aruch brought down this opinion that if it's within the laws of nature, you don't make the bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah said, an example of this is if a ganev comes, if a thief comes, this is the case in the Shulchan Aruch, that you don't make the bracha with the name of Hashem attached to it. And the reason is because it's normal to survive such an incident. So that's the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that if listim mezuyim come, if someone who's an armed gangster comes and attacks you, in that case, you do make a bracha. In that case, you do make a bracha even with the name of Hashem. The Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to be contradicting the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin that if a thief comes and you survive, you don't make the bracha with the name of Hashem. So why does the Shulchan Aruch Rav paskin that if listim mezuyim come, if an armed robber comes, and you nevertheless are able to survive the situation, you do make a bracha of Shem Malchus? It seems to be a steer between the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch Rav and the prior paskin, the Shulchan Aruch himself. So this seems to be a big question over here. Answers the Betzel HaChachma, the answer is very simple. When it comes to a thief, a ganef, his primary intent is not to take your life. He's coming for the money. Now, you're right. It is a situation of danger because the situation could evolve into a situation of a sakana. And therefore, there is a certain amount of danger to it, but if you survive, it's not beyond the laws of nature because he's not really coming for your life, he's really coming for your money. That's a ganef. That's the case of the Shulchan Aruch, where we say you can't make the bracha with the name of Hashem attached to it. However, the case of the Shulchan Aruch Rav is different. In that case, it's an listim mezuyim. It's an armed gangster, a person who is primarily coming to take your life. He has ill intentions when he approaches you. In that case, it is considered something that's innate beyond the laws of nature, and you do recite a bracha even with the name of Hashem, and this even the Shulchan Aruch himself would agree to. So it's not a contradiction. In one case, it's a person who's primarily coming for your money. In the second case, he's not coming for your money, he's coming even for your life. Now, says the Betzel HaChachma, if that is, in fact, the true and correct approach in reconciling the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch Rav with the Shulchan Aruch, if so, when it comes to the Holocaust, you should, in fact, recite a bracha with the name of Hashem, the Shem Malchus, according to everyone. Why? Because it's even more of a danger than the danger of an armed robber. In the case of the armed robber, he only has one moment to kill you. But, you know, there are situations in which a person has a salvation and a person is able to survive such an incident. If someone else comes running or the person gets scared off, and yet we say that you make a bracha in that case. Certainly in the case of the Holocaust, their primary intent, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were to kill as many Jews as they can. Therefore, it certainly was a danger that was even more of a sakana than the case of listim mezuyim, the armed robber, and you certainly would make a bracha, even with the name of Hashem, when it comes to a person who survived the Holocaust. And he adds, they had a long time to kill the Jews, and many of them did get killed, many of the Jews did get killed, but they had a long time to carry out their terrible motives, and therefore, it certainly is something that is beyond the laws of nature if a person survived. And he adds that people were starved. People completely lacked nutrition, and if a person survived, it was an ace. It was not a regular standard mill ace, it was an ace that superseded the laws of nature, therefore you certainly make a bracha when it comes to the Holocaust. Therefore, if the Holocaust survivor visits the site of the concentration camps in which he survived the sakana that was enveloping him at a certain point in his life, he certainly would make a bracha, even with the name of Hashem. However, the question then becomes, what about a grandchild visiting the site? What about a great-grandchild? So to this we turn to a second discussion of the Paiskim. And the Mishneh Berurah's psak, the ruling of the Mishneh Berurah is as follows. He says as follows. If a person visits the site that he was the beneficiary of a nes, he certainly makes the bracha with the Shem Malchus. So too his son says the bracha and thanks Hashem for the nes that Hashem performed for his father. So to a grandson, and so to a great-grandson, l'netzach netzachim. For every generation, subsequent to that, they make a bracha. However, there's a distinction between the generations. And says the Mishneh Berurah, when it comes to a grandson, because a person has a close relationship with his grandchild, the Gemara says, b'nei bonim harehu kebonim. Your grandson is like your son himself. That type of relationship is very close in nature. Therefore, in halacha, in all cases, the grandson makes the bracha when visiting the site of the nes that occurred for his grandfather. However, when it comes to the great-grandson, then we draw the following distinction. If the child owes his existence to the nes, meaning, if not for this nes, he wouldn't be here, because after the nes, the great-grandfather survived, and then he had a son, and that son had the father of this child, and now this is the great-grandson of the survivor. So you owe your existence to the nes. In that case, you make the bracha. However, if, let's say, the Holocaust survivor had this son already before the Holocaust, and this great-grandson would have been born even without the Holocaust, even without the nes of his great-grandfather surviving, because the son, which was the grandfather of this child, was already born by the Holocaust. In that case, you don't owe your existence to the nes. You would be here even without this particular nes, and in that case, you don't make the bracha. That's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Now, we should point out that other places can disagree. The Shulchan Aruch Rav holds that even if you don't owe your existence to the nes, the great-grandson makes the bracha. But the psak of the Mishnah Berurah is that no. When it comes to the grandson himself, you do make the bracha regardless. When it comes to the great-grandson, it's only if you owe your existence to the survival of the nes. Have yourself a wonderful day.